Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're talking with Jennifer Kraft about spinal cord injuries. Jenny is a high school chemistry teacher at Garcia High School in Chicago, Illinois. She had a biking accident 5 years ago that left her paralyzed, and she's sharing her story of recovery and resilience. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Jenny.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to share my journey with others.
That's great.
Hi, Jenny. This is Jean Marie. Could you start us off by telling us more about your injury?
So it happened in April in 2014. I was biking actually up from Hyde Park to downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. And my accident happened. I was on the Lakeshore Trail, and then it kind of led into the breakwater walls, so those big concrete revetments.
Right.
So I was riding my bike on top of those. And The next thing I knew, it was just a crazy, actually, I thought that was my safest way home, was to take the bike trail. So the next thing I knew, I actually landed on my helmet. My helmet shattered. I fractured 3 vertebrae in my neck. I broke both my shoulder blades. And then I got paralyzed at the T4, T5, which is about at the bottom of the rib cage. At the time, I had no idea what I fell off of. I was like, totally like out of it. I was really lucky though. I was actually I had my cell phone on me.
Oh, that's good.
So I was actually able to call 911 myself. I did at the time, I kind of felt like my legs were like floating in the air. So I knew like I was in like bad shape and I couldn't move at all. So I called 911. They couldn't find me. It was hard to find me because I was like down by the lake. I could see the lake, right next to me. So I was trying to, and when you're biking, you're not really sure exactly where you're at.
Right.
So then they were able, to find me, but it took them 30 minutes to find me.
Oh,
they had traced the phone call. I ended up getting on the phone with my ex-boyfriend at the time. He reached out to all of my family. My youngest brother, he was at Northwestern, when I arrived. But, later on, I actually realized that I fell 9 feet.
Oh.
I should have died or I should have been quadriplegic. So I honestly feel extremely blessed.
Mm-hmm.
To have just become like a paraplegic, so I have full use of my arms still.
Okay.
Wow, the injuries were extensive. Now, you say that you fractured your neck, your vertebrae in your neck. However, the paralysis was at the thoracic area. How did that area also get injured, or was that from the shoulder blades being broken?
And when did you first learn exactly what the extent of your injuries were?
The main thing, so the vertebrae in my neck were just like a little bit fractured. So I didn't break them all the way. So that's why the spinal cord wasn't injured.
Okay.
So then how I got paralyzed at like T4, T5, that's where I had the compression of the spinal cord happened at that T4, T5 level.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. So yeah. Then, a helmet won't help you down there. Huh?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really learned about the extent of my injuries. I really learned like kind of 2 days later. It's kind of interesting because your body goes into shock. So I didn't really get the pain until I got to the emergency room, and then that's when I really started feeling the pain from the accident.
Okay.
So I went through like a 12-hour surgery. I woke up probably like, you know, they have these morphine like pumps.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get to hit it every 30 minutes. So I was on that for a while. So to be honest, I was super out of it for at least like almost a whole week. Yeah, so I didn't really understand my injury until probably about a week later. And then, like, at that time, I realized that I couldn't sit up. I couldn't dress myself. I couldn't roll over. I couldn't go pee or go to the restroom by myself. I had no sensation from that T4, T5, like all the way down. All the way down to, yeah, so I couldn't move, and I also couldn't feel any parts of my body all the way down.
We understand that a spinal cord injury can be devastating, and, you know, spinal cord does so much in a person's body. It takes care of so many different things. So what do you think the part of the central nervous system that was injured, what do you think is the worst part of your injury?
I wouldn't say the worst. What, the...
Well, the one that has the biggest impact on your life.
Okay.
Well, I think for me, it's like the main thing is my body can't communicate right now. So my brain isn't communicating. As soon as it hits that T4, T5, it can't communicate with the rest of my body.
Okay.
So obviously, like, my heart's still beating. Anything that is involuntary still works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So anything that is, like, needs to come from my brain, from the central nervous system, like, I need to, like, tell my leg to, like, run. Or I need to, release my bladder to go to the bathroom.
Okay, so anything that you have to do that's below that spot, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the struggle, is that I can't, anything that I used to be able to control from that part down, I can't control. Or I also don't have sensation. So, like, for example, if somebody stabbed me in the leg, I wouldn't actually feel it.
Wow.
Right. I would get probably some, like, headaches. Because it's called autonomic dysreflexia, which means that there's something going on below my injury. So for me, it causes headaches. It kind of, different people get different sensations, but I'll get like a really bad headache, and then I'll know something's going on. So if I have a urinary tract infection, for me, I actually do feel a little bit of burning, but I'll also have like these headaches.
Okay.
That something's going on.
Okay.
Yeah, you can tell that you're a teacher because you can explain things in a very eloquent and clear-cut way. Were you very active prior to your injuries?
Yeah, so I played college soccer up at Aurora University in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I've always been extremely active. Like, I love biking and running and doing anything active, and being outside was like the thing I did. Right before my accident, me and my ex-boyfriend actually traveled like 17 national parks in 1 month, like camping and biking.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You were definitely.
Yeah.
Now, have you been able to get back into that a little bit, or?
Well, what I love is that there's so many organizations in Chicago that just offer so many free things. Dare to try. I did a triathlon with them. They do free trainings. I do hand cycling now, which is like one of my passions. I learned how to swim again. I've kind of done a little camping. We're still kind of working that out with me and my fiance.
Oh, no. So, okay. So now there's a fiance. Very good.
Yes. So I met, and dating can be definitely another thing to kind of get over. Like, you're in kind of a different body. You learn to, like, you have to really learn to communicate really effectively, which, I mean, you can kind of get away with stuff, I think, when you're not in this condition. I met him. He's in India. But we've been able to make an amazing relationship. I've been to India 3 times.
Oh, nice.
He's been here 3 times. So he's super supportive of my recovery and my growth through this whole process.
Okay. That's one of our, on our bucket list, is a trip to India for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, you guys can come to my wedding.
Oh, wow. That would be amazing. We've had a couple of Indian weddings.
Yeah, and I've been following a guy on Facebook that is he's like an instructor for yoga, and I mean like intense yoga.
He actually takes
people to India for retreats.
Yoga. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
I wanted to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, I'm just going to jump back a little bit. Did you say you went to Aurora University?
I think
I did.
Oh,
Amazing.
So did we.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking right at Lita right now. We're both alums from AU as well in
PR. And it's the Fighting Tadpoles?
Exactly.
Is that right?
Okay. Tadpoles.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I graduated in 02 from there.
We may have seen you. We were like 98, 99,
yeah.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we were a little bit before you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they both got their master's from
a little bit more like wine aged. Than
yes.
You are, so yeah.
Wine age. There you go.
Hey, can you do us a favor and explain to the listeners out there the different types of spinal cord injuries that people may get?
Yes. So there's a lot of different types. So there is complete and incomplete. So the complete paralysis means that it's a feeling and all ability and control is like totally lost below the area of injury. So like for mine, for example, if I had no feeling or sensation below my T4, T5, I would be considered complete. So I'm considered incomplete because I have a little bit of, contraction of like the anus sphincter.
Okay.
So that's like one of the things that they test. So if you have any kind of movement or control below the level, then you're considered incomplete.
Okay.
But you're you're still complete. I don't like that term at all.
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh, as
I know
a person.
It's
yeah.
not she. It's not no. She's incomplete
okay.
or complete. It's
okay.
The injury.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So and then like I have a theory that they tell everybody in the beginning that they're complete. Just it's just depressing. And so then I had them retest me actually because they do this thing called Asia testing. Where they go all along your body and they'll do like little pinpricks and then they'll do like little soft, like cotton. Mm-hmm. I think that I don't like the test at all. I think it's very inconclusive.
Sure.
So I think that they have a lot to go when it comes to medicine and it comes to spinal cord injuries. I think that they should stop categorizing people complete or incomplete, because I know a lot of people that have gotten a lot of return back, even when they say that they're like complete. I know that the body wants to heal, and like even when they said to me in the beginning that, oh, you're never going to walk again, you're complete, I was like, whatever, you don't know anything.
Oh, good
like,
for you.
Yeah. I was all like, you don't know my body. I've been with it, you know, for 34 years. I got this. Like, let me try.
Right,
you
right.
Know?
Well, I'm glad you were able to advocate.
Advocate for yourself.
For yourself, yeah.
You belong to the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and they have been ranked number one in rehab medicine for, I think it's 28 years straight. So if anybody can get people to walk again, it's going to be that place.
Right, and maybe a functional MRI while they're doing the testing might be helpful because it could actually
show which parts of the brain are
right that the brain is actually activating with sensation rather than because I'm sure that test has to be extraordinarily stressful because you want to feel and it, I just can't even imagine the stress that would put on you. But yeah, once again, thrilled that you were able to advocate for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge thing with people with disabilities. Like, if you don't advocate for yourself, and I've been very blessed. I've had, like, we had to fight tooth and nail to be able to go to Shirley Ryan because I had an HMO at the time, and they did not want to pay for Shirley Ryan.
Oh, wow.
They wanted to go to her. Yeah, they wanted my best friend. I don't even know what she did because I was out of it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But she found some way to make sure that I was at Shirley Ryan for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Before I left there, and I was extremely blessed to be there for my rehab. I was in really good shape. By the time I left there, I was able to do like my bowel and bladder program myself. I was able to like dress. I mean, it was me taking a lot of initiative too, because I knew that when I went home, the only person that was going to be able to stay with me was my brother. So, he's not helping me dress or do anything.
Right, right, right.
I had to make sure I can make that happen, you know?
Right, right.
So.
What surgical procedures have you had to help correct the spinal cord injury and other damage that you sustained? I mean, even the shoulder blades, did you have to have anything to help repair that breakage?
Yeah, so unfortunately, there's not anything they can do with the shoulder blades. That's why I was in. Usually you're out of rehab within like a month or two. You usually don't stay in there for 3 months. But my shoulder blades, they have to heal on their own.
Oh.
So I had a lot of restrictions about bending for at least almost the first 2 months.
You know what just hit me? So you have shoulder blade injuries, severe shoulder. I mean, those are big bones.
Mm-hmm.
If you fracture those, right? And now you don't have the use of your lower body because of the T4 injuries. So that means you've got to make up for the lower body by using your upper body strength. And you're trying to use your upper body strength with two broken shoulder blades. I mean, that's like a double whammy.
It is. It sounds,
Yeah, it's a bit intense. I was on a lot of pain meds.
I bet.
Okay.
Thank God.
Yeah, for surgeries, though, they did fuse together T3 to T8, the thoracic vertebrae of the third to the eighth.
Okay.
So that happened the day of my accident.
Oh, wow.
So I was in surgery for 12 hours.
Okay.
That's a long
time. It's like rods. They kind of put
it
back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hold it together.
And it probably helped stretch it out a little bit because you said that it was a compression injury.
Right.
So now the spinal cord has a little bit more space to move back to where it belongs or stretch a little bit rather than being compressed and staying compressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good surgery.
And what hospital were you at for that procedure?
Northwestern, I think.
Northwestern. Okay. Thank God they took me directly to Northwestern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very
blessing as well.
Very good hospital.
They have some wonderful neurosurgeons there.
Just as an aside, my mom fell off a horse when she was in Michigan. She was like, oh my God, she was probably in her 60s, fell off a horse and injured her lower back. And because they were out in like farmland, they loaded her in the back of a pickup truck and drove her to the nearest hospital.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh my
God. That's a rough ride.
God. I mean, you know, so the difference is between being somewhere close to a really good hospital and having an ambulance transport you,
mm-hmm.
and being out in the... So you did have a lot going for you,
right.
Which is good. I mean, I'm not going to... I try to find the good in anybody's illness or injury, so you had a lot going for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've had a lot of blessings throughout my recovery, no doubt.
Yeah. Can I ask you, how has the level of the injury affected your life since the accident? You're a chemistry teacher, and now you've got, some problems that you never had before. So how are you adjusting to that?
In the beginning, honestly, my youngest brother was like, he asked my mom, he's like, Mom, why isn't Jenny more depressed? I can't believe that she's not depressed. And I mean, honestly, I was just trying to survive. I was like, all right, how can I put my clothes on? How can I learn to catheterize? How can I learn to do my bowel program?
Mm-hmm.
I was just like super, super focused on just like basic survival in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's really what I focused on when I was at the hospital. And then I was a chemistry teacher. I had only been teaching for 2 years.
Oh.
Actually, this was, so I taught my first year. I kind of started teaching as it's kind of my second career. And so I was in the first half of my second year of teaching, and I finally felt like I could kind of teach because my first year was a hot mess.
Yeah.
And then it happened like right after the love that I felt from all the students and all of that, like I just wanted to get back to teaching. So that was also like a huge driver for me to find my stability and get back to what I love. Because I really do love teaching. It just really gives me a quality of life. So that was a huge driver for me. Also, a lot of things that affected my life is like I couldn't drive. I couldn't like friendships and dating were kind of, everything was different, you know. I couldn't like go out with my friends at night, like especially with the catheterizing in the beginning, like as a woman, like it's extremely difficult to catheterize in public areas. So that means I can't be out of my house for more than like 4 hours at a mm-hmm. time, because then I need to come home and like get in a bed and you have to like take your pants off all the way so then you can self-cath, and it's just like a huge process. So there was just a lot of challenges that I needed to get over just to try to go back to work.
Okay.
So a lot of it had to do with strength building as well, of course. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, sure. And now, since your first major procedure, have you had any additional treatments or procedures to help repair the damage?
So actually, just in November, I got some stem cells.
So
I got stem cells. And honestly, like, I had a lot of friends that were getting stem cells. They were going to, like, Panama. They were going to Germany. And, like, nothing was happening. So I finally ran to a friend who he had gotten stem cells in Wisconsin. In Minnesota, and his kind of paid off. Like, he got a little bit of movement, and I was like, all right, so now let's try this. And so I went up to Minnesota in November, right before Thanksgiving, and I got the stem cells. So it was very non-invasive, like, it's all injections.
Okay.
The stem cells, they came from me. All of the blood that they pulled out, everything came from me, and they just put it back into me.
Okay.
So with needles. Mm-hmm. So I had to pay for it out of pocket. But since then, I've gotten, like, a lot stronger. I've been able to transfer to, like, acupuncture tables, and I'm able to undress myself, because the problem with those tables is I can undress and dress myself,
mm-hmm.
but because they're so narrow, it can be a little challenging, but now I'm so strong that it doesn't even matter. I can do all that stuff myself now, and that's just from the stem cells.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
I just have a question. Was that at Mayo Clinic in Minnesota?
No, it wasn't. It was through a Rejuve Medical.
Okay.
It's a place near kind of Mayo. Yeah.
And you said it was not covered?
It was not covered by the insurance. It was about $10,000.
Oh.
Wow.
And with everything else going on, I mean, your finances must have really taken a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The finances really took a hit, but, man, I'm so blessed I got to go back to work. My life is, like, 1,000 times better than most people. I have the best insurance that anybody could ever imagine. My insurance pays for everything. I got this electrical stimulation bike. It's called a functional electrical stimulation bike, which actually activates the muscles, like,
right,
in my
right,
leg.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that almost every other day. They pay for everything. I mean, I have a... co-insurance was like $1,200 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my finances, I mean, they were a struggle until I went back to work, but I make decent money as a teacher. I really can't complain. Obviously I'm spending a lot of money out on my recovery,
sure.
But I've also been extremely blessed. Like, people have donated a lot of money to me. I've already gotten $7,000 back from my stem cells through a fundraiser that I did.
Right, I saw that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, the GoFundMes are great for people that are stuck in situations like this, because
mm-hmm.
it's things that you just don't expect, and no one can handle that kind of a hit all of a sudden. Or funeral expenses for a young family, or mm-hmm. or a fire. You know,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So Jenny, what do you think has been the most helpful during your recovery? You say that you got different treatments, and family has helped you, and you got some different equipment that might be adaptable that can help you. But what do you think is the most helpful since you're recovering?
You know what, honestly, and it's kind of interesting. I mean, physically, the physical therapy is huge. I've gone to naturopathy, which is like a holistic view of the body. She's helped me out a ton. Like, it takes a whole community
mm-hmm.
to really work through this recovery. And like I said, I'm blessed with my insurance pays for most of it.
Yeah.
Massage is huge. I think one thing that people don't get to understand, like, some people are like, oh, okay, if I'm doing this recovery, I want to walk again. Just keep working out. But honestly, the biggest thing I needed to deal with was the trauma that the body went through.
Oh, sure.
And what helped release the trauma of it was I went to India 3 times to see my fiance, and I got a lot of Ayurvedic medicine there.
Okay.
And what they do is they do a lot of like deep tissue massages. So I was there for 20 days. I had 2 massages a day with this specific oils that have different types of medicines in them, all natural. And so that really helped me release a lot of trauma from the body. And then also like going to a psychologist, like really like kind of expressing myself. I actually really like trying to really totally accept like the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I find like the more that you resist, like accepting who you are and accepting the paralysis, that's really what makes life hard.
That's a very good way to put it. And I think that's a great outlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, we can tell you're a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're born to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I do love it. So, I mean, I really think like accepting like that present moment and I didn't even know how great it was to go to like a psychologist and talk everything out with somebody who doesn't know anybody else. I just think it was really nice to like release like different emotions. Like I never really cried before my accident. I finally like learned how to like just really express myself and really like enjoy crying and releasing like those emotions that I've had. And honestly, I've even been able to release trauma even from further in the past.
Oh, wow.
Even in just like my accident because of this process that I've been through.
Jenny, you and I actually met through an organization I've been with for a while called Dive Heart. We do adaptive scuba diving for people with disabilities. A couple of questions. One, how do you think or has that helped you? Breathing underwater, being on compressed air underwater, how do you think that has helped you with your recovery? And I know you alluded to it earlier, but what other organizations do you work with?
Well, first of all, Dive Heart, like, before my accident, I don't even think I would have thought about scuba diving, to be honest. I guess because it's super expensive. Like, it's a really expensive sport to do. So, like, scuba diving is, like, I found like a new freedom with it, you know, like you can't move.
Absolutely.
Like you're kind of trapped. Yeah. You're like trapped in a chair, like most of your days. So like, to be in the water and then to like be able to breathe while you're underwater is just super amazing. Like it actually also gets you to that like meditative state, like super fast. Well, if you're not at that meditative state, then your buoyancy is off. So you kind of have to get to like a really super calm state so that you can actually dive and float around and like really relax totally. So diving is kind of the opposite of a lot of sports I've done. Like the less you try, the better you
dive. Exactly. Can I ask you one more quick question? Have you been on any of the trips to either Cozumel or the Florida Keys yet?
I went down. I actually got a trip through them. It was like fully paid. I just had to get the plane ticket down, and they certified me as adaptive diver.
Oh, fantastic!
So I went down to the Keys. Yeah.
Yeah, I've gone down there several times with my students, and one of the biggest things when you talk about like the freedom and all that is we've had. I particularly recall a student who was paralyzed at the cervical level. So from basically the neck down, he had very little movement. And with neutral buoyancy, we had him standing erect at the bottom of the ocean, and the current was like walking him along the bottom of the ocean. It was phenomenal. So, and he and his family were just like in tears because parts of his body were moving, albeit in the water, but parts of his body were moving that have not moved since the accident.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I actually practice walking now with Dive Heart in the water. When I go once a month, and they'll support me practice walking on the bottom of the pool now.
Exactly. The last time I saw you, I said, I still need to dive with you because I see you in the pool all the time, but I'm usually with someone else. So maybe I'll be with you walking underwater next month.
Yeah, let's do it. I'd love it.
And what other organizations? You mentioned it earlier, but it would be great to hear it again, some of the other organizations.
Yeah, so what I think is, like, really interesting is, like, I feel like I can do stuff, like, for free every day of the week in my situation. It's just really a blessing to, like, live in Chicago and have all of these amazing organizations. So there's Dare to Try. They offer practices, like, 3 days a week between they do hand cycling practices, they do swim practices, they also have push practices, which is, like, a push chair that you would use to race in the triathlon. Mm-hmm. So I did do a triathlon with them in 2017. And it was really fun, but then I started kind of focusing a little bit more on my recovery, but I still will go and I'd swim with them, but I walk in the pool. Mm-hmm. So I go to their practices and they're like, oh, it's you, whatever you want to do. So they're just like super supportive. And it's not like, you don't even have to like do a triathlon. They just want people with disabilities to get out and get active. Mm-hmm. So they're like super supportive. I also go to Next Steps. It's in Willow Springs. Okay. They're a specific, have you guys heard of them?
No, I haven't heard of them and they're not far from here. I'd like to check them out.
Yeah, so they actually specialize in spinal cord injuries. They also offer, like, bench and bike club, like, on Thursday nights. And they also have fitness classes that they offer. And then there's Adaptive Adventures. Mm-hmm. Through Adaptive Adventures, they have, like, a program where they'll take you camping. And they have a ton of volunteers to help you do everything that you thought you could never do.
Have you gone skiing with them? I don't mean to interrupt.
Yes. You did? Oh,
downhill
wow.
Skiing. It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah, so I tried mono skiing. It's a little bit rough. I need to do it again. I haven't done it for a couple of years now. So they do mono skiing. They do water skiing. Like, they do kayaking. Mm-hmm. They have just so much to offer. So anything that you would want to try out, they have different programs for it. And then a couple of other things. I was actually able to get my own hand cycle through the Kelly Brush Foundation. They sponsor, they give you grants for athletes that I got two grants from them, actually. I got one grant for a hand cycle that I have now. And then I got another grant from them. So now I have my own BCD for scuba diving.
Wonderful.
And my own wetsuit.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and then there's also the Challenged Athletes Fund. I got some money from them also that went towards my hand cycling. Okay. And then, of course, Shirley Ryan Ability Lab, their fitness center, they have a lot to offer there. They do the hand cycling practices. They have an outdoor hand cycling practice. There's just a lot of options in the Chicago area. It's really amazing.
Yeah, Chicago is definitely...
rehab focused.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and ask, what specific challenges do you face as a woman with a spinal cord injury, and how do you adapt, or if you don't mind explaining?
Yes, I think some of the major things, and last time I checked in, the statistics probably not super, super exact right now, but women only make up 12% of the spinal cord population. I think it's more now because women are starting to do more of the similar things that men do. Mm-hmm. So that's why the women's spinal cord population is kind of increasing recently. So one other thing is catheterization. It's a little bit harder for us because anatomically it's a little bit harder to get to the urethra. Mm-hmm. So part of that is like you have to take the pants all the way off and then all the way on. So I've invented something called the Easy Access Pants, which I've been trying to get out there because women have a couple of options, right? So you can have a surgery that reroutes the urethra where the pee comes out, it'll reroute it through your bladder or through your like belly button. So they'll okay. reroute the
right.
bladder to the belly button. So then you have, it's called a stoma, mm-hmm. Inside the belly button. So then you can catheterize through like your stomach area. So that way you don't have to worry about taking the pants on and off.
Right.
So that's one of the struggles. And then obviously as women, we don't have as much upper body mass and muscles. So So there can be a lot more challenges with taking the pants off as well. So that's why I invented the Easy Access Pants, which is a zipper in the crotch, so that way you're not taking the pants on and off every time.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if the astronauts probably have something already like that, right?
Their suits have vacuum.
Oh, they have vacuum. Uh-huh. Oh, okay, never mind.
Things you don't
things I don't want to get into.
They used to have like just absorbent material, but now it's vacuum.
Yeah.
So, are you finding with the easy access pants that you designed? Are you finding a lot of? I know there's need out there, but are you finding a lot of people interested in purchasing these? You know, possible side job maybe.
I've been working with a few people, and I have an Etsy. So I do have a patent for it. So it is
fantastic.
At first I was like, I don't know, maybe this already exists and nobody knew. Mm-hmm. So I had them do a patent search, and then I do have like a year, like a preliminary patent. So I don't have the 20-year utility patent yet. Mm-hmm. So ideally I would like to try to find somebody to help me pay for that one, because that's the one that's costly. So right now, I'm working with a couple of women. They are definitely useful, and I've sold several pairs out there. It's kind of trying to get the word out there about them. Mm-hmm. To women that need them. So I do have a presentation that I'm going to have with Schwab Medical Rehabilitation on March 4th. So I'm going to try to help introduce it out there.
That's
kind of trying to get the word out there. The people that use them love them, though. And so I have one lady that she's buying her second pair from me. She's like, oh, these are great. I have another woman in Canada who has a young daughter that has spina bifida that started using them too.
Oh, wonderful.
Super.
Yeah. And yeah, I was just thinking, like, with the Paralympics coming up, that would be a great place to feature such a product.
Right.
Yeah. Because I'm sure that, athletes. Yeah. Now, Jenny, what additional tips, hints, or helpful advice do you have for our listeners?
I think specifically for people who are listeners that are in like my similar situation, I just think it's really important to find ways to release the trauma from the body, be it massage, meditation, or finding a psychologist. Like, I think that's been a huge part of my recovery. And then I just think never give up, like, wanting to walk again. Always send positive messages to your body that, hey, you're going to walk again, you're healing. I think that self-talk is like really important to like keep your body and yourself in that really healthy condition.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause the body, it wants to heal again just naturally.
Right.
And then I think from my friends too, I think accepting help from strangers is like not a sign of weakness, but a sign of building awareness and community. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, no, I just want to do everything independently. But I learned through the process that the more I let people help me and the more I share my story, like the more the community and society opens up and like is able to really understand what it's like to have to be disabled, because it's really, I just think it's so inspiring. I've met so many people with disabilities now, and they just inspire me every day. And I just don't think people see, I don't think society sees people with disabilities in this empowering and inspiring life that we should see them in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today and talk with us about your story. How can our listeners learn more about you and especially your accessible clothing line?
So I'm creating, I have a website. It's called projectawaken.us. It's in its very beginning stages. So I'm working on the website. The website's going to have all of the nonprofit organizations I work with and their links. And then I'm going to have a calendar on there, actually, too, of all those organizations and their different dates. So if people want to be active, there'll be a calendar link so that they can see all the different activities.
Great.
So ideally, because I'm really in the beginning phases of building this, is that I'll sell the Easy Access Pants, and the money I make from that, I'll be able to put into kind of a nonprofit into building activities for people with spinal cord injuries so they can really get out of the house. So that's one of my big plans.
That's wonderful.
So,
give it back.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's amazing. You're a real inspiration. And thank you again for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please leave a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.